Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. The continuing troubles in Afghanistan is our focus this week. Predictably, as in previous years since their fall from power in 2001, when they slipped back into their role as rebels, the Taliban have launched attacks this spring, notably in the north of the country. If the fighting is ongoing, so is talk about talks, peace talks. Nicholas Haysom, the United Nations Special Envoy to the mission in Afghanistan, UNIMA, addressed the Security Council in New York this March. The UNIMA mission came up for renewal less than 3 months after the withdrawal of the international assistance forces from Afghanistan. Here's Haysom.
Mr. President, in past weeks, reports on possible peace talks between the government of Afghanistan and the Taliban have been prevalent. It is UNIMA's assessment that there is currently an alignment of circumstances that could be conducive to fostering peace talks. Parties, however, need to be given sufficient space to build a level of trust that will allow them to establish common ground, to come to the realization that peace is the only viable option for Afghanistan, and that a military victory is neither likely nor optimal for a lasting national social compact.
Given Afghanistan's geographical location and recent history, war or peace demand that the regional powers are involved. Afghanistan's ambassador to the UN, Zahir Tanin, also speaking in March in New York, pointed out, amongst other things, that restoring peace to Afghanistan, while at the same time building a society based on democratic principles, will have to be the work of many rather than of few.
It's time for those still engaged in fighting to heed the widespread call for peace and to play their part in building the country's future. We welcome the new phase of cooperation between Afghanistan and Pakistan towards the shared goal of peace and reconciliation. It's essential to the success of the peace process and heralds a new era of relations between our two brother nations. We also welcome the support of all our partners, particularly in the region and the Islamic world, and would like to express our appreciation to the People's Republic of China for its help facilitating the peace process.
One of the factors that contributed to the Taliban taking control of Afghanistan in 1996 was that after the Soviet pullout in 1989, and then the collapse of the communist Mohammad Najibullah's regime in 1992, warlords, backed at different times by some regional actors, entered into a civil war. Emily Winterbotham is a research fellow at RUSI think tank in London. She has substantial experience on the ground in Afghanistan. She notes that today's Afghanistan, with its new president Ashraf Ghani and Prime Minister Abdullah Abdullah, is quite different from the 1990s.
What we've seen in the last year is concerns that with the departure of US and other foreign military troops, that a potential power vacuum could open up in Afghanistan, and that this would incite regional actors to perhaps resort to familiar tactics in Afghanistan, undermining the strength of the state and while continuing to ensure their influence through key groups within Afghanistan. So I think that set the stage in terms of a worry whether regional actors would be allowed to gain more influence. President Ghani, since he's come to power, has been very active in doing what we've been calling the kind of regionalization of the peace process. He's very clearly seen regional cooperation as a way of combating insecurity in Afghanistan, but also designed to kind of kickstart the country's economy. So we've seen a number of visits, obviously recently to India, previously to Iran, also to Saudi Arabia, Beijing, Pakistan. And in that, I think we've seen regional actors having more influence, really because President Ghani's been the driving force behind it.
Would you agree with this policy on his part?
Basically, it's controversial in its relation to Pakistan, particularly domestically. We've seen quite a lot of negative criticism from particularly former supporters / current supporters of the former president, Karzai, in relation to his outreach, particularly criticizing him for probably prioritizing Pakistan over India. I personally think it's a difficult platform that he has to negotiate, but it's actually the only approach he can do if he's really serious about bringing peace in Afghanistan and ending the Taliban insurgency. And Pakistan, even itself, has recently admitted that it has harboured and used the Taliban against Afghanistan, but also US and Indian interests in Afghanistan. So it's an unfortunate reality, I think, that domestically doesn't go down so well because of the anti-Pakistani rhetoric in the country, but really is the most feasible option if he's serious about making peace.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. So the departure of the United States forces, or most of them since the end of last year, has made more space for combined regional efforts. And China, along with Pakistan, is now an upfront key player, says Michael Kugelman, senior associate at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in Washington, D.C. Like in similar cases of moves towards peace talks, he notes, however, there's probably much happening of which we are not aware.
It's hard to say exactly what country is doing what. I think that China has made very specific overtures to the Taliban, including hosting some Taliban members in Beijing in recent months to try to convince the Taliban to commit to peace talks. I think that much we can say is clear. Pakistan, we really don't know what it's doing in the context of reconciliation, but what we can say very concretely is that it does seem, at least for now, in the short term, it does seem committed to improving its relationship with the Afghan government, and therefore the Pakistani army chief has had several meetings with Afghanistan's new president, and the effort there is to try to reduce the cross-border terrorism that's happening along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. But beyond that, there's a lot of opacity to what's going on in this part of the world.
But the Chinese contacts with the Taliban, would Pakistan have facilitated those, or does China have its own direct contacts?
I mean, I would not be surprised if Beijing had prevailed on the Pakistanis to try to help facilitate that meeting. But then again, there's no reason why China could not do this of its own initiative and of its own volition. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this was China's idea to start with. And once it knew it was ready to try to attempt to reach out to these Taliban factions, it at that point, it went to the Pakistanis. But I think that China has as much of an interest as anyone else in having the war end in Afghanistan. So I think that it would do everything that it can to try to reach out to the Taliban and get it to commit to sit down at the peace table.
And of course, he says, let's not forget the Taliban in all this, or their leader Mullah Omar, who's been keeping a very low profile. What the Taliban would want from peace talks, a power share at least, Kugelman says, will likely never be on the table.
We really don't know what the Taliban wants. I mean, my own sense is the Taliban has no incentive to step off the battlefield now to launch talks, because it's doing very well. Since U.S. troops, or most U.S. troops left at the end of the year, the Taliban has made some significant inroads. Afghan forces are now completely on their own, essentially, and the Taliban knows that, and it realizes that Afghan forces still have significant capacity constraints. And so, for that reason, why would the Taliban want to end that? Why would they want to stop something that's going very well for them? There would have to be some sort of major incentive for the Taliban, and I think that no one, especially the Afghan government, would be willing to go that far. I mean, I'm talking about needing to dangle the possibility of coming into the government and holding a cabinet-level position or something like that. I mean, the Afghans, anyone else I would matter, would never agree to that type of thing. And it's also a very fractured organization. Some factions of the Taliban may want peace, but we don't know if other more hardline and more powerful factions would share that view. But I don't think anyone wants to give up on the idea of reconciliation, even though I've laid out a very skeptical, pessimistic vision for the prospect of talks. I think that it's seen as really the only show in town, and it's not a very easy show to put on, but I think it's beyond helping the Afghan security forces in any way possible, short of combat assistance. I think that talks are still seen as option number one, no matter how remote it may be.
My thanks to those who've contributed to the program today, and to you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time, goodbye.